Then let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, please send us your spirit of wisdom and insight and knowledge and truth, that as we hear your word, we may be quick to understand it and eager to grow in it, to the glory of Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen. Please be seated. Three weeks ago, Chris introduced us to the idea of having a way of life. That is, a pattern of regular habits in our lives which helps us to change from the inside into the likeness of Christ. A structure for our lives which helps us to grow to maturity in Christ, rather like a trellis might support a growing vine. The pattern will normally include, just for example, regular church going, regular personal prayer and Bible reading, regular giving to charity, regular service of some kind. It may well also involve regular gathering with other Christians in some sort of small group, regular offering of hospitality, regular prayer retreats, and so on. Any way of life will have both personal and corporate aspects. But today we're focusing on the corporate. We're looking at the way of life which was adopted by the earliest church, and it's described for us in Acts chapter 2. So if you're not there, please turn again to Acts chapter 2 on page 1033, which will help you to follow what I'm saying, and we'll see what it looks like, this early way of life. These, of course, are the days immediately following Pentecost. And Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, has boldly preached the good news of Jesus Christ, crucified and risen. If you look to verse 37, you'll find that many who heard him were cut to the heart. About 3,000 of them repented that day and were baptized and became the very first church. The Spirit's continuing powerful presence was evidently with them from then on, and it showed first of all in their adoption of a particular way of life. Verse 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. That tells us there were four key elements to this earliest way of life. First, as you might expect, there was biblical teaching. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. And teaching is no passive word. It's very, very active. One of the greatest dangers every Christian faces is that of becoming static, of, over the years, settling into a nice, comfortable little rut where nothing ever changes. But the idea is that throughout our Christian lives, we're meant to be learning and changing, penetrating more and more deeply into the unsearchable riches of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. Before he died, Jesus promised, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth." And that's just what is happening in Acts chapter 2. These young Christians were devoting themselves to learning, and to learning from one specific source, from the apostles' teaching, teaching which was authenticated for them by many wonders and signs, verse 43. These days, of course, devotion to the apostles' teaching will mean eagerly getting to know our Bibles, our written records of the apostles' teaching, in order that we may submit our thinking and our speaking and our living to the Lord our God and his will. At St. Mary's, we do our best to provide a whole host of opportunities for that, because we know that a spirit-led way of life is one in which Christians will read and explore and discuss and learn from and enjoy the Bible. The Spirit of God and the Word of God always work together. And so that is the first element of the earliest way of life, biblical teaching. The second is generous care. Verse 42 again, they devoted themselves to the fellowship. Fellowship refers both to what they received and to what they gave. They'd received the Holy Spirit. They shared in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, which means they knew God as their Father. They had become part of his family. They had become brothers and sisters of one another. And so they shared out in care for one another. Very practical, generous care for one another. Just look at verse 44. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. We must not evade the challenge of those verses. Of course, the selling of property and possessions is only ever voluntary. It was never compulsory, never universal. Jesus doesn't call every disciple to sell everything and follow him, but he does require it of some. Therefore, this is a matter upon which every Christian must ponder, consider, a matter upon which we must each make our own decision of conscience. For we do still have thousands upon thousands of poor, needy, destitute brothers and sisters around the world. In Sudan, for example, or Syria, or the Philippines at the moment. Their very existence is a standing rebuke to our comparative affluence. And it is part of our responsibility to do all we can to alleviate their need. Every one of us is most certainly called at the very least to generosity and self-sacrifice, especially on behalf of our fellow believers. The principle is stated in verse 45. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. After all, as John would later write, if any one of you has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in you? A spirit-led way of life is one in which Christians have a very keen sense of responsibility for one another. One in which fellowship means caring, and caring means sharing. That's the second element of the earliest ever way of life. The third is obedient worship. Verse 42 again, they devoted themselves to the breaking of bread. And verse 46, every day they continued to meet in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God. Clearly, those early Christians knew very little of either purely private religion or dull ritual religion. They gladly devoted themselves to worshipping their Lord in direct obedience to his command at the Last Supper. Do this in remembrance of me. In those days, the breaking of bread was normally part of a proper meal. Our communion services today are the derivative symbolic equivalent. Nonetheless, today, communion with praise is still rightly at the heart of our church way of life. What's more, it's clear that for those early Christians, corporate worship was both formal and informal, both in the temple courts and in their own homes. And both forms of worship were equally joyful and equally reverent, for their hearts were glad with the joy that is a fruit of the Spirit. And yet at the same time, every heart was sincere. They took worship seriously, whatever form it took. In the words of verse 43, everyone was filled with awe at what the Lord was doing among them. awe, the fear of God. That too is the Spirit's work. The Almighty was in their midst. They knew it. They responded with awe combined with joy. Reverence and joyful, exuberant praise are not mutually exclusive. Praise doesn't have to be informal. Informal doesn't have to mean irreverent. Formal doesn't have to mean boring. No, a Spirit-led way of life is a way of obedient balance, a way of formality and informality, rejoicing and reverence. That's the third element of the earliest way of life. And the fourth and last is corporate prayer. Verse 42, they devoted themselves to prayer, or more accurately, to the prayers, because the reference here is more to corporate prayer than private. This was a church for which prayer was very far from a strictly private matter. This was a church which prayed together. The prayers were the equivalent of our prayer meetings. And like biblical teaching and generous care and obedient worship, they too must be right at the heart of our church way of life. Again, at St. Mary's, we do our very best to provide a whole variety of opportunities for corporate prayer. Home groups and morning prayers and open to God and so on. Of course, the difficulty with praying with other people is that it's not something the world ever does. Therefore, it's something we need to learn as we become Christians and grow in the faith. And that does require a certain degree of courage and not caring what other people think of us, caring only what the Lord thinks of us. The earliest Christians, therefore, devoted themselves to a fourfold way of life. To the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And the result? The result of their adopting this fourfold way of life? The result was spiritual growth. Growth both towards spiritual maturity and in numbers. Look at verse 47. The Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. If we take verse 42 on its own, as many have done over the years, we end up with a very introverted picture of early church life. Like all verses, it needs to be read in its context, and especially in the context of verse 47, because these believers were not so preoccupied with learning and caring and worshipping and praying that they altogether forgot about the world outside. No, they enjoyed the favor of all the people. They were an attractive church. Their changed lives were evidently a good witness for Jesus Christ. Again, this is the work of the Holy Spirit. He's the one who empowers Christians to witness. Our role is simply to cooperate with him. For notice the emphasis in verse 47. The Lord added to their number. The conversion of the world does not depend primarily on our abilities or activities or achievements. No doubt the Lord used their witness. But salvation was and still is ultimately his work, his doing. And notice how he worked. He added to their number those who were being saved. Becoming a Christian, being a Christian, and belonging to a church always go together. If at any time in your life you find yourself looking for a new church, here's what to look for. Biblical teaching, caring fellowship, obedient worship, corporate prayer, steady growth. All signs of a healthy Christian church. And if you read the Diocesan Way of Life, you'll find this is the sort of church we want to be. The Holy Spirit is as much with us as he was with the church in Acts. So let's pray that we too would fulfill our calling. by devoting ourselves to the same way of life as they did. Let's pray. Thank you, our Father, for the gift of your Holy Spirit. Please help us to follow his leading, that we too might devote ourselves to this fourfold way of life and become the sort of church you would have us be, for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.